this is my dad. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the oven right behind him here. And those are the bread, loaves of bread on a board. And this is looking inside the oven. Mm-hmm. So you can see that it's flat on the bottom, and then this has a crown to it. It's slightly curved.
Yeah.
And you can see how some of the brick here are deteriorating a little bit already over the years. So every now and then you could actually take this door off, and then a person could slide in there. I did it once. I wasn't too comfortable because I was probably 10 or 12 at the time, and there's not a whole lot of, I mean, if you like to go in narrow caves or something, but there's not a lot of room in there. It's, I mean, the very center of that oven was maybe just about that high, just enough to, that you could lay flat in there, but you couldn't raise your head much, you know, and then we'd have to pull some of these bricks out, especially the bottom. You can't see the bottom ones, but they were kind of flat and square, like patio block, and you could lift those out and put new ones in, and then we'd get a sand under there, set the brick in. And there was a special place in Milwaukee. It was called Fire Brick Engineering. It's a special kind of brick that's made to withstand heat. It doesn't deteriorate. If you've noticed, if you build fire pits in your backyard or something, you put the brick around them. Well, after a few good hot fires, they start to crack and split. And, these wouldn't do that. But they would eventually start to crumble after time. So here you can actually see him. Here's the handle on that peel. And he's sliding the breads into the oven.
And you, I don't know if you might have said this, but you could you see in there? Like, could you see?
See, here's the light right here.
Oh,
All it was just a tube, a long tube with a light bulb in it, and then there was a big hole in the oven there, and then you just slid that in the socket there. Then he could pull that out, and he could put a blank sleeve in there to seal it, you know, if he didn't need the light or, you know, if he wanted to hold more heat in the oven. And then that was, that's why it's on a cord like that, so you could pull it out. But yeah, that was his light. There was a switch there, I think right here, probably flick it on. And then up above here were his vents. So it was kind of like, you know, a fireplace. You had to let the thing breathe when the fire was burning in there too. So, and let the smoke escape. So he had the vents on top there that he could control the fire. And the idea was to have more of a slow, controlled burn, not a fast flaming fire. You wanted more of a nice, even, slow heat so that brick could slowly absorb all that heat and let it instead of letting it just go up the chimney.
So I know that, like, bread takes a long time to, like, make, but I was just wondering, like, how long it takes, like, each loaf to actually, like, bake.
Oh, that I'm afraid I really don't have. I don't know, to be honest with you, how long they were actually in there. What does it take in a regular oven?
It could vary, I would think. And the size of your loaves, too, I would think different style bread, because he made different types of bread, too.
Yeah, his standard, like if you're looking at these rolls, at these bread here, those are pound and a half loaves of bread. So those were all standard, and those actually went into pans. There was, you'd have a pan that had four slots for the bread in there, and you'd put them in there, and you'd bake those in a pan. But his a lot of his rye breads, he made the round ryes, and those were baked on the hearth then. And those could vary sometimes in size. But I know he had, sometimes the state would come in and inspect, and they'd get all upset because his loaves weren't exactly a pound and a half, and you're selling these little mini rolls, and you're not putting the size or the weight on there, or the mini breads. You know, he'd make the little rye breads, the little round ryes like that, and some he'd have regular size, but then he'd have leftover dough, so he'd make a few little ones, you know, and state was upset, you know, it's like, you shouldn't be selling those. You know, well, the people can see what it is. I'm not charging them for a whole loaf of bread, you know, if they want to buy it, you know, and you get into little things like that when you're in business by yourself. But when my dad closed up, I think he was selling bread for 32 cents a loaf.
Yeah.
This is my grandfather, and one of his daughters would be my aunt, but this was the showcase in the bakery. This was the actual store.
Which is the front of the building.
Here. I don't know if you know where the building is now, but it's just kitty corner from Jim's.
Oh,
ice cream there, that green building across the street. That was the old bakery.
Not current,
That's fairly newer.
Oh, yeah. I have records. I went back and found that the original building dated back to 1845.
Well, that was when the land was purchased.
Well, yeah,
the lot was purchased.
The lot, and then there was a building. But I don't know what part of the building.
In the village library,
you can see the loaves right in there. And then we had a showcase for some of the sweets and stuff.
Yeah.
Palace
Bakery, right? Yeah.
That is the forerunner of the Kockenmeyer Bakery.
That we don't know 100% when Palace was in there, because my grandfather he didn't start the bakery, but he bought the bakery in 1903. And then he ran it till about 1912. And I remember my dad talking about, my dad was born in 1909. He said there was financial problems, which there was during that time, a lot of immigrants coming over and money issues and that, and they lost the bakery. And so for a while they lived right across from church, from St. Peter's. Conrad's used to live in that house there. They lived in that house for a number of years. And then in 1920, my grandfather got the bakery back.
Well, they moved to Barton for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they moved to Barton for a while, too. That's right.
Okay.
And in 1920, my grandfather got the bakery back, and then it stayed in our family till it closed in 69.
But your grandpa started, when he came to this country, started for a bakery in
Milwaukee. And he learned the baking trade in Germany. He came over from Germany.
Okay.
Or Bohemia, actually. But this was in the bakery itself, in the actual baker shop. I'm guessing this picture was probably taken around maybe 1930. There's no date on it, but my dad looks like he's in it. This is my dad. Mm-hmm. Looks like he could be in his early 20s. My grandfather, my grandmother, and my aunt. We still had this metal bowl and stand. I still remember working with that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, during this time, were there other, bakeries, around the area?
I think all your little communities, there were bakeries in Hartford and West Bend, Milwaukee, but most of them weren't like his. I can remember there was one in Milwaukee yet, I think, that still had this old style of oven, but that's the only one I ever remember him talking about. Most people got out of it and went to the gas ovens and the revolving ovens where the trays come around to you, and you just put your pans on there and then they revolve in the oven and that. So I don't really know. I never was in one in Hartford or West Bend, but I know they both had bakeries. But the uniqueness of his was the oven. It's what gave the bread the crispy crust. And that's why he was always afraid to change it, because he was afraid, if I change that oven, I'm going to change my product, and then people won't buy it. But
during that 20s and 30s, a lot of the rural people, they did all their own baking and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as for my family, I can remember we'd still come and get a coffee cake or something for a treat, and always the hard rolls.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just because we had our own bread, we would still...
Right.
Well, I don't know either what year they were delivering. He had Lake People.
That's the original building.
And with a bakery truck and a horse would deliver bread.
Yeah,
he would
deliver out to Cedar Lake. So they would they would hitch up a horse and buggy and load it full, or a horse and wagon, I should say, not a buggy, a horse and wagon. And him and his sister, when they were little kids, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 years old, something like that, and then they would ride the horse out to Big Cedar Lake and go around the lake, and they had their regular customers, and they would deliver that way, because a lot of and I don't even remember who they
Timmers
all were,
must,
but the
Timmers, must have
Timmers
been out
was there,
yet.
Timmers
yeah.
Resort was there,
Gonrings.
Yeah. That was a big one.
Yeah. Trying to think some of the others, but a lot of the more well-to-do people in the Milwaukee area, like Oscar Meyer's family, I can't remember all of them, but some of the big name business people in Milwaukee had places on Big Cedar, so they would be out there on weekends and stuff. And I got to know some of them a little bit through that business. I got to know Oscar Meyer's daughter. She would always stop in.